we're going to go ahead and get into the message this evening. We're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to start reading with verse number 3. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3, says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." How many has heard that verse before? That's what my dad used to tell me when I was growing up, when I complained about something or you know, that the chores and or maybe going to church or cleaning the church. It's, you know, that was a favorite scripture. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And I thought, man, you know, I've endured some hardness, you know. Well, we got to keep reading, though. Verse number 4. "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." Amen. Let's pray this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you to God for the opportunity we have to be in your house today. Lord, I thank you for your spirit, Lord, what you've been speaking to us throughout this Lord's day. Lord, and I thank you to God, Lord, that there are some individuals that have chosen to set aside your day to worship you. And I pray, Lord, that you anoint me tonight to minister your message. And I pray to God you'll challenge us, encourage us, and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated this evening. I just want to preach on just a very simple thought this evening on intentional. Intentional. A kind of a synonym for intentional is on purpose. I have a younger sister, and sometimes accidents would happen when we were growing up. And, I'll just go ahead and tell it. Might as well. Half of the church already knows it. When we were growing up, I shot my sister in the back of the arm with a compound bow and arrow. Now, it was not intentional. She thought it was, but sis, if it would have been intentional, it would have been more than none. There were some things that happened on accident. I remember growing up when me and I don't even remember which buddy it was. I had this, and I still have this in my closet. I had one of those big muskets from Silver Dollar City back when they actually made them to last. And it was real wood and real steel. And I remember playing, and used to have one of those little orange caps that went on the end of it, you know, so everybody knows it's a toy. Well, it was also covered the edge of the barrel. Well, that orange thing had come off, and the edge of that barrel was sharp. And we were playing or something, and Buddy had it, and I went to do some sort of kung fu move on him to take that gun away. And I still have the scar where I sliced my thumb halfway down here, slid my thumb down the end of that barrel. And I remember coming out of there, and boy, I was shaking it, and blood was flying everywhere. And, of course, I was pretty dramatic in those days. I was screaming real loud, you know, and Mom's like, "What's going on?" you know. And I'm still dramatic sometimes. But that was something. It was an accident. I'm not here to preach about accidents tonight. You know, our lives are full of accidents. I'm here to preach about on purpose. Intentional. And when I begin to preach about this, when I begin to think about this, I want to tell you something. You're not going to accidentally make it to heaven. It's not just going to be it just so happened that somebody bumped into me and I stumbled in the gates. You're not going to accidentally overcome. You're not going to accidentally live for God. You're not going to accidentally have God's blessings. Everything about a Christian walk is intentional, and it is on purpose. So as Paul begins to write to Timothy here, he's writing to a young man, and he's giving him some good advice, because as we understand in this life, we have to endure hardness as a good soldier. And I'm not talking about pastor's message on something. No, I'm messing with I've been in some church services where I have had to endure hardness as a good soldier. Amen. But you know what? We've been in some situations and when we've had to bite our tongues. Anybody ever been there? Maybe somebody was talking bad about you and you just really wanted to just bow up and defend yourself. But you know what? It wasn't the right time. And so would you endured hardness as a good soldier. What Paul was beginning to tell Timothy is that in this Christian walk, if you're going to be a part of this church of Jesus Christ, there's going to be some hard things that you're going to encounter and that you're going to have to deal with. And what he was beginning to tell him is that it's part of this Christian walk that we are going to have to endure some hardness as a good soldier. Now, Brother Jonathan is getting ready. Is he already in, Brother Lucas, or is he fixing to start? He's fixing to start the hardest boot camp on the face of the earth. He's fixing to go through BUDS. And if you're not familiar with the military, that's Navy SEAL training. And he's been in boot camp, and that was rough enough. But when they begin to send them through BUDS, he's fixing to endure some extreme hardness. Hardness that is designed to break a person. You see, because the qualifications for that job is for somebody that can endure extreme hardness and not break. You know what? That's a very small percentage of people. We need to pray for Brother Jonathan that God will give him strength. Because you know what? He said, well, that's the military. Hey, we need good Christian people in the military. If there's a place that we need some Christians, it is in our military. But you see, he's fixing to encounter some hardness that, yeah, he's putting himself in it. Not sure he's exactly knowing what he's getting into, but he's going to have to endure it if he wants to be a good soldier. You see, sometimes in this Christian walk, what do we do when hardness comes? Well, we kind of like to whine a little bit. We kind of like to moan a little bit. We like to, we call it belly aching in our house or in Dad's house. When Mom and Dad was growing up, we called it belly aching. I don't really even know where that term came from, but we were grumbling, complaining, and just kind of moaning, and overall feeling kind of sad and sorry for ourselves, you know. When hardness comes, we don't enjoy it, but what Paul is telling Timothy is that in order to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we are to endure hardness. Then he goes on and says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. In order to endure hardness, in order to do the job at hand, to do the task at hand, in order to fulfill your task like it is needs to be fulfilled, there's some certain intentional things that you have to do that separates you from the world. You see, in order to overcome, in order to be victorious, in order to be on top and to be full of victory, ever been around those Christians that it just seems like they're always on top and they're always victorious and that they're always happy and it seems like everything always goes good for them? You know, I've spent a lot of time on the bottom, it seems like. And it seems like, you know, sometimes you're just not victorious and you're not feeling blessed and things are not going right and things are not going smooth. You know what? Sometimes it's not the devil. Sometimes it's me. You see, because the soldier, the intentional Christian, understands that if I'm tangling myself with things that I know don't help me be a Christian, why should I expect to be victorious and overcoming? You see, Paul was telling Timothy just a real simple fact that if you're going to live for God, there's some things that you have to be intentional about in order to please him who hath called you. Now, I like this verse number 5. I'm just getting going, you know. I'm going to try not to spend too much time, but I'm just getting warmed up. You see, I haven't preached since last year, so I'm just getting warmed up here. It says, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. I want to tell you something. There are no shortcuts to heaven. How many like shortcuts? Sometimes we like shortcuts. Brother Weston, he likes shortcuts, you know. I'm notorious for if I know where I'm going and GPS says turn here, but I think this is a shorter way. You know what? I'm going to go the shorter way. And I have found that more times than not, it's not the shorter way. You know, you're not supposed to take shortcuts through people's backyards. That's not a shortcut. You know, one day I got pulled over, or I didn't really get pulled over, but in Claremore at the Brahms on the south end of town, that's a nice little shortcut through that parking lot to get to Lowe's. Do you know that's illegal? And one day I came popping down through there, and there's a Rogers County sheriff sitting by the dumpsters, and he's leaning on his car. And you know what he's doing? He's flagging everybody that's going through that parking lot. You know what he did? He flagged me. Wasn't handing tickets out, but he was reminding folks that this is not a shortcut. You see, in Christianity, the devil would like to try to tell you that there are some shortcuts to heaven. But we begin to find that if a man is going to strive, if he's going to be crowned, then there is a process which he has to go through in order to get the crown. You know, in sports today and in the Olympics and any of these major athletes, it's illegal to take performance-enhancing drugs. And you know what? Occasionally they test them for that. And if they get caught with them, what happens? They get disqualified. If you're caught in the Olympics using them, you're barred for life. You're done. You see, because there's a process that has to be taken. So I want to talk about three different things we have to be intentional about this evening. Number one, I want to talk about passion. Matthew 21, chapter 21, verse 28 says, but what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. He wasn't passionate. He was not passionate about the vineyard that day. He was not excited about it, Brother Tate. It's kind of like when your dad's going to say on Monday, Tate, we got to go paint all week. You know, you've already told me you're not super excited about that. But you're going to be a good son, and you're going to go. So we begin to find that he said, I go. No, I'm not going to go. But then he got to feeling bad, and he understood that was the task at hand, so he repented, and he went. Well, then he came to the second son. Dad comes to the second son and says, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. I like that. I go, sir. He was passionate about it. He's like, yes, we're going to go to work in the vineyard today. And somewhere along the way, though, the passion he had when he said yes, it kind of faded out. And he got to thinking about the task at hand, and it deterred him from going. Verse 31, it says, whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. You see, in order for us to live for Christ, there's one key ingredient we have to have and be intentional about. And that's passion. You got to be excited about serving God. You've got to be excited about going to God's house. You've got to get excited about having revival. You've got to get excited about furthering God's kingdom. How many understands that when you are excited about something, it's easier to do it? How many has a particular chore? Maybe it's part of your job. Maybe it's something around the house. Maybe it's that you don't like. Yeah, for some of our younger generation is sitting on this side. they're not excited about schoolwork, you know. At the first week of school, they generally are excited to go back to school. But they're not excited about the work. They're excited about their buddies and their friends, you know, and all the social interaction that they're going to get. You know, for me, I detest weed eating. I hate weed eating. And that's why I generally put it off for doing it every other week, and I bury the weed eater in the dirt. That way, I don't have to weed eat near as often. And Sister Sarah's rolling her eyes and shaking her head, you know, because actually she does sometimes more weed eating than I do, because I just detest weed eating. But when I do weed eating, I kind of got to get myself psyched up, got to get myself pumped up, or get myself in the mood to understand that this is a task that I'm going to have to embrace and I'm going to have to get it done. You see, not everything in your Christian walk is going to bring about an excitement that just bubbles over enthusiastically through you to do. You know, many times it begins to be something we have to make ourselves pray. We have to make ourselves read our Bibles. We have to make ourselves have devotions. Sometimes we have to make ourselves go to church. You know, sometimes we have to make ourselves show up to church work day. You know, and those are fixing to start here for too long. And I'm trying to psych myself up for it, you know. I'm trying to get passionate and excited about it. You see, it's one of those things, though, that the passion, we have to be intentional about being passionate about our walk with God. Because if you're not passionate about it, you're going to be kind of like the second son. When you have a good high-flying service, it all sounds and feels good. But when you actually get out there and it comes time to implement said task, your passion fades. I'm here to tell you that it does not always feel like a coming off the platform, running around the church service every day. It doesn't always feel that way, church. But you see, this first son, he knew the task at hand. And what did he say? I've been there, done that. I ain't doing it again. But yet, the longer he thought about it, the more he began to understand that he needed to motivate himself to do the task at hand. And he stirred his passion and he went and did the will of his father. Hebrews 12, chapter 1, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Can I give you a little bit of encouragement tonight? When we feel our passion is waning a little bit, when we feel that it's fading a little bit, when we're just not quite excited about the tasks that are being presented to us, when we're not really enthusiastic about what God is asking of us, when it begins to take a little bit more than we want to give, I want to encourage you to look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Because if anybody had to endure something that he wasn't super enthusiastic about, but yet he knew that the end game, the goal, where he was going, what he was pressing towards, he decided to step up and endure what was in front of him, begin to embrace the task that God had placed for him, and he conquered it, went above, went beyond, went past, endured it, and came out victorious. You see, church, I want to encourage you that this, what we have here, the things that we deal with here, they're not the end. They're not the final. They too shall pass. But they are a reality that we have to deal with as Christians that there's going to be some trials, some troubles, some problems. We're going to get lazy. Anybody ever been lazy? Don't raise your hand. Brother Luke, put your hand down. I've been lazy before. Sometimes I'm lazy too often. Sarah says, amen. You know, sometimes we get lax. Sometimes we get comfortable. Sometimes we just get stuck in a rut and stuck in routines. And our passion for what God has called us to as good soldiers isn't at the levels it needs to be. Well, I'm going to tell you that don't just wait around until Brother Joe comes back in October to get your passion renewed. Don't wait around till, we got one before Brother Joe. We got camp meeting in June. I'll get passionate at camp meeting. No, we've got to intentionally be passionate about God's business. So when we get passionate, when we get excited, then a new step comes in, because it's not just enough to get excited. We got a plan. How many likes to plan? How many's a planner? Yeah, mom's a planner. Wesley, put your hand down. You don't plan. He's enthusiastic. Praise God. That's the first step. That's step number one. Luke 14 and 28 says this: for which of you, intending to build a tower, setteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. It's not just enough to be enthusiastic, church. You've got to begin to implement a plan to see God's business through. When I say God's business, it could be as simple as God's dealing with you about something you need to give to Him. And you get enthusiastic about it, but then the enthusiasm fades because you don't have a plan in place to fulfill God's business. You see, if you don't count the cost, if we don't sit down and see if we have what it takes to complete it, if you never sit down and take stock of your performance for God, you are a person that runs by the seat of the pants all the time. Now, I've been accused of kind of one of them fellas that runs by the seat of my pants. Me and Brother Robert, we both like to run by the seat of our pants some days. Yeah, Sister Sarah's saying, yeah. And you know what? In my business, we make plans, and this is what I say. We make plans and we make schedules just to rework them the day that we make them. Because you know what, Sister says, well, what are you doing today? Well, the plan is we're going to go here, here, and here. But between point A and point B, I got a phone call that added a D and an F. And all of a sudden, D and F become a higher priority than B and C. And you know what? And some days you get to winging it. I've also discovered that you can't wing it the entire time either. You've got to learn to be flexible and adaptable, but you still got to have a plan. You know, many times we'll sit down and we get great ideas and we get excited about ideas. I'm going to tell this one on me. We've been planning to have an operational website for Trailblazer Barns for 3 years. And last year I finally got really excited about it. And we got domains purchased. And we got a somewhat of a page set up, and then we got busy. And we came down to the end of the year and sitting there with our Barnes team and having our group meetings, and I said, well, what do we need for next year? What's gonna help us improve? And Brother Michael Touchin looks at me, he's like, well, it'd be nice to have that website. And I said, you know what? it would be nice to have that website. And I said, well, you know what? I've reached out to a guy, like, I don't know, back in September. And he gave me his number, and I said, I'll call you tomorrow. Well, I called him right before Christmas in December. Well, guess what? He was on vacation. And I didn't hear nothing from him. And he gets back in town, and he calls me. I'm busy, and I don't answer the phone. And he leaves me a voicemail. And then we're coming up on New Year's Eve. I said, well, I'll get with him after the first of the year. Well, this fella, he's persistent. He messaged me on Facebook. He said, hey, I've been trying to get a hold of you. I just want to make sure that we're all good. And anytime you want to meet, I could meet. Well, we finally had a meeting with him on Wednesday, I think it was. Thursday. The day was really, really cold. We had a meeting with him on Thursday. You see, if you constantly get enthusiastic about something, but you never implement a plan to make it happen, what ends up happening? Nothing. God help me. So many times, we get back in our Christian walk, and when we sit down to take stock of our success as a Christian, we find ourselves still trying to implement the same things. And we see that God deals with us, and we pray it through, and we commit to it, but we fail to count the cost, to see what it's going to take to make it happen. You see, because God is a God that desires to help us, but He's also a God that looks to see if you're actually putting anything in. You see, if you're not putting anything in, God's not going to invest anything in you. You see, we find in 2 Corinthians 9 and 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You see, part of moving forward in your Christian walk, part of progressing, is being able to sit down and understand the key principles of the Word of God. When God sees you beginning to get serious and invest in His kingdom, begin to invest in your life, Brother Isaac. Begin to put something, some effort into serving Him. Begin to take some steps knowing, hey, I need to take some slack up here. I need to implement some new plans. I need to sit down and figure out what it's going to take to make it. That's when you begin to have some progress in your life. The church is full of people who get excited. They get emotional. They cry. They shout. But yet they never implement any plans to be something for God. We don't want to be the person that starts and never finishes. And I will tell you this from experience. The hardest thing about home building is finishing. Brother Dave says, yeah. Finishing. Closing a project off. That's the hardest thing. And honestly, I still ain't figured out how to do it. You know, pain-free, I guess, is the word I'm saying, trying to look for, you know. It's always a rough process, it seems, to get houses over the finish line. You know what? Sometimes that's the way it is in our own personal lives. It seems like we got a lot of incomplete projects. Well, can I tell you this? There comes a point in time if you have too many incomplete projects, you can't start any new projects. And if you do start new projects, the incomplete ones become a big mess. You see, if you want to move forward in your life, you got to complete some projects. You got to close some tasks. You got to zero some jobs, so to speak. You've got to make sure that what God has been dealing with you about, you have successfully graduated that class. If you want to move forward. You see, I'm the type of person that I like to move forward. And in fact, I'm generally thinking way up there and
totally understand that. Now, tomorrow, I'm going to do some work, but I'm going to be thinking about Wednesday on Monday. It's just my personality. But part of the problem with that is finishing. It's good to have vision, but if there's no plan, there's no intentionality about your vision, it will stay your vision. We gotta have a plan, church. We gotta have a plan. And when we get a plan together, one more step. You got to have purpose. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says this, and know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. When we have passion, and we have a plan, then you have to have purpose in order to see the plan all the way through. What Paul was beginning to tell the church of Corinth is that this is a race, and we are to run to obtain. And you know what? The goal in this race is to make it to heaven. He said, well, isn't everybody a winner if they make it to heaven? Yeah. But did you know that not everybody that is running is actually going to obtain? You see, just because you say you're in the race, just because you're going through the motions of the race, just because you show up to the race, doesn't mean that you're going to win the race. You see, young people, you've got to be intentional about your Christianity if you want to win the race. Can I also tell this to you as well? That even if you do make it to heaven, there's going to be some rewards handed out in heaven. Not everybody gets the same reward. Nowhere in the Word of God does it ever say everybody just gets the same thing. In fact, what the Word of God says is we will be rewarded according to our deeds and our words and our actions. So it's not just enough to make it there, church. When I make it there, I want to make it there in style, so to speak. I want to make it there knowing that I didn't just get there by the skin of my teeth, but that I got there because I was willing to invest. I was willing to get passionate. I was willing to plan. I was willing to make the choices of what is it going to take in my life to do what God is asking me to do. If God's laid it on your heart to preach the gospel, you need to count the cost and begin to see what it takes for you to begin to preach the gospel. If God's called you to enter the children's ministry, you need to count the cost and see what you need to be able to do to make it in children's ministry. If God's called you to be the supervisor of the church work project, you need to sit down and count the cost and see what it's going to take to be the supervisor of the church work program. You see, this race, this calling that we're called to do, this army that we're in, it requires us to get intentional. To have purpose. Paul said, I run. He said, not uncertainly. And what I take it, no good. I don't run by the seat of my pants. He says, not as uncertain. He said, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. Church, we're headed into 2022. Let's get intentional about going somewhere. Let's get intentional that, you know, where I am spiritually beginning 2022 is not where I want to be spiritually at the end of 2022. what's it going to take in my life for me to check some boxes as a completed project? Can we sing that song? Make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and the stars. 30 years to hoover out all my stars. Oh, maybe that's not exactly what it was, but something like that. Church, we shouldn't be spending 30 years trying to get these things done. If I'm a 30 years, I better be past phase one. He's always going to be working on me. But you know what? I want to be working on a new project. I want a new phase. I want a new level. I want a bigger devil. However way you want to phrase it, and whatever begins to get you passionate about doing something more in your life. And it may be just due to the fact that you finally see through that promise that you've been making God for all those years. You finally check that box and make that promise happen. Because I come to tell you, Sister Lindsay's coming back to the piano this evening, or whoever's coming back. What I come to tell you is that this law of sowing and reaping, that's a biblical principle. And God's going to give you however much victory you're willing to invest in. God's going to give you just as much progress as you're willing to invest in. God's going to give you just as much position as you're willing to invest in. See, you say, well, God blesses. Oh, yeah, God blesses. But have you seen those people that it just seems like they are just blessed? It seems like God blesses just all on them. And you say, well, they're just blessed. Well, I want to share a secret with you. They're not just blessed. They are intentionally blessed. You see, there are some windfalls that God gives you. But the bulk of your Christian walk is going to be spent in intentional investment. And when God gives you the increase, it's not going to be just because he felt good about it. It's going to be because he intentionally blessed you. You say, well, Brother Jason, I have been investing in God's kingdom for years. And I've yet to see the reward that I've been asking for. Sometimes the investing, if it's something big that you're asking God for, sometimes the investing time is going to be taken too. But what I've come to tell you tonight is don't give up on investing. You see, sometimes the things we're praying for, the things we're asking for, the things we're desiring God for, they are long-term rewards. And they're maybe not something that you're just going to get just real soon. But don't get discouraged in your heart. Don't get down about it. Don't lose your passion. Don't just swat the plan up and throw it away. You definitely don't lose your purpose. Just because you haven't seen the reward, you have to. Because when God gives a promise, when God gives a key principle, and he puts it in his word, that's how he works. But you see, there's another scripture verse in here that says, his ways are not our ways. And if you want to take that a little bit further, you can sometimes say his timeline is not always our timeline. And sometimes our ideas of rewards is not exactly what he's going to give you. But what he is going to give you is what you need. Well, God, I've been asking God for $1 million. God hasn't given me no $1 million. But can I tell you what he has given me? Well, he's given me work. He's given me employees. He's made bills to pay. He's made ends meet. He's put a roof over my head. I got a vehicle to drive. I got a wife and 3 children. You see, God's blessings. God's blessings are intentional. But you know what? There's some places I still want to go, Sister Annie. And there's some places I still need to get to. And God's asking me tonight, get intentional about it, buddy. If you want to make it there, you need to get the plan in place, count the cost, what it's going to take to finish, and get it going. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Intentional, church. Intentional. I want to encourage you as we begin this year, 2022, don't let it be just another year. But let it be a year in which we are intentional about making. And young people, don't be intentional just about making. Be intentional about going somewhere. But Titus, we need to go somewhere. He's like, yeah, take you on a mission trip, Dad. Let's go to Mexico. You know what? If that's what the Lord wills, then that's where we're going to go. We got to go somewhere, church. God's looking for a church that isn't just me. He's looking for a church that's going somewhere. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's gather in these altars tonight. Let's have us a time of prayer and let's go somewhere.